Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, bucks, diamond things in his cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Everybody, you are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now, the one and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Yeah, man. I get so many emails almost daily. Why do you say every day you got a radio show? Some people still don't get it. Well, here it is. I'm not bragging. I'm really not. It's just my odd way of saying thanks to my Heavenly Father. It's my odd way, as strange as it might seem to you. Can't you understand? You know, everybody do it a different way. It's just a reminder to myself and to anybody that hears me that God is in the blessed business, that God is in the get your life together business. And I say it every day because people need to know. Because, see, what some people don't understand is just yesterday, something could have happened traumatic in somebody's life. A turning point could have occurred in somebody's life. And they could be sitting up there listening, trying to make a decision. And it could be the wrong decision if you don't remind yourself every day that God is in the blessing business, that he's in the get your life together business. If you're not talking to the right people, when you have a mishap in your life, you'll suddenly start thinking the wrong way. Oh, man, he don't care about me no more. Oh, I done blew it. It's over. Now, sometimes you need to hear the truth that, hey, man, that there's going to be some rain in your life sometime. Sometimes it's just per chance of life. Sometimes it's a test. You never know what it is. Sometimes, you know, you're going to get your faith tested from time to time is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes some things are going to happen to see if you really mean what you say. Do you really want your dreams to come true, or will you give up as soon as something bad happens? So that's what happened to so many people along the way. They just they look at the test the wrong way. They keep thinking because this mishap has occurred that it's over, that it's fini, that it's a finale in their life. It ain't ever that. It ain't ever that. You got to go through some things. So when you finally get to your goal, you have a level of appreciation for it. Man, you know, when you've really earned something, you know, you take care of it better. You know, this is not true in every case. But I was listening to a guy in this real estate class I was trying to take one time years ago. And he said that owners take better care of their property than do renters. Now, once again, I will say through life experience that that's not always the case. But what the man was trying to say and the point he was trying to make in this real estate class was, is when you pay for something, when you've earned it, when you've gone through the paperwork, and if you've ever bought a house, you know, man, oh, man, oh, man, they take you through it. They want to know everything about you. And right when you think you've answered all the questions and fulfilled all the requirements, before closing, there's always some more. There's always some more you got to do. Everybody done bought a house and been through this. You know, well, we need to look at this. This didn't come out clean. I thought what is this bill over here? You got to go pay that off. Take care of that. Get a letter from this creditor. Everybody done going through it. Right when you think you're there, and when you think you've done all of it, when you get to closing, here comes some more. It's more money than they said. You're just sitting there going, wow. But when you get the house and you walk in it and you done went through all of that and you done came up with the down payments and you done fulfilled all the requirements and you've been saving for years and you've been dreaming about this house and here it is, what the man was trying to say is you have a level of appreciation for it. And that's what happens in life. That's why you got to go through some things to accomplish your dreams. So when you fulfill those dreams with God's help, with God's help, you have you have an appreciation for it. It meant something to it. You take care of it better. Now, like I said, don't mean that renters don't, because I know some great renters out there who take care of the property like it's there. They're just good people. They're just not in a position to own yet. I've seen that happen more times than not. But you go through things so you have a level of appreciation. So while you're out there going through stuff, understand, it's just because you got to come up through something. You got to have some dirt on you in order to grow. And a lot of people look at the dirt the wrong way. You're not buried, you planted. When you got dirt on you, you're not buried, you planted. That's the thing. You know, everything you see beautiful, every tree, every bush, every plant, every flower, every mountain, had dirt on it. They had to come up through some dirt to be what they are. You can't eat nothing, a vegetable of any kind or fruit of any kind, that ain't come up out the ground. But it's got to come through the earth, the dirt, in order to be what they gonna be. So when you're going through some stuff, just know you're gonna get some dirt on you. And everything changes. Everything changes. But the key to everything changing is you have a say-so in some of it. It's like old age. Everything must change. The young are going, if you keep living, the young are going to become the old. It's inevitable. The young become the old. But you have a choice. You don't have to be 50 and sit there and just let old age come set in you on you. You're going to get older, but do you have to look it, though? Do you have to walk like it? You know, if you exercise and eat right, do you know that you can change the way that is? You have a say-so in some of it, man. Everything changes, but you can do some things about it. Do what you can do today. Make a chance. Have a relationship with God. Get your life on track, man. God would love to hear from you today. Doesn't matter if he ain't heard from you in a while. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. God ain't like everybody else. He's a forgiving God. He's a God of chances. All you got to do is take one chance. Take a chance on God. That's all you got to do. He'll give you many, many, many chances to come. Please.
I am grateful for the things that you have done. Yes, I'm grateful for the victories we've won.
I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I'm grateful. tell him yes, I'm grateful. The victories that we've won. Tell him I could go on and on.
You can do the best you can. You can strive to be the absolute best you can. But when you make a mistake and you are going to make the mistakes, it's okay. God has already put that into the equation. He already knows you're going to make them. That's why he's there. For forgiveness, mercy, and grace. It's available to everybody. All you got to do is want it. Okay? Cool.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all over this world, you are listening to the greatest morning show ever devised in the continental United States
King.
And other free parts of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. We are live.
Come on, live.
Bring
live.
It,
in this corner, coming in with the greatest voice in all of radio, Shirley Strawberry.
Hello, Steve. Good morning.
In this corner, the director, the leader, the architect of what we say and do, from Prairie View, Kyla Farrell.
Good morning, everybody. Get on your feet. Yes.
In this corner, from Houston, Texas, gifted young stand-up comedian, straight out the hospital. Put your hands together for Junior.
Get back, I'm healthy. Get back, I'm healthy.
Yeah. We on you.
And now, from another station.
Oh, gosh.
Another group. A man who has been drafted and traded more times than Isaiah Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, a troublemaker, yes. A rebel rouser, yes. The Fat Panther, Jeffrey Brown.
Jeffrey Brown, Denmark, Texas, South Carolina. Thank you very much.
Never put the T on it.
No, there's no T on it.
There's an F. Panther?
No, the Fat Panther.
Is that a new character?
Fat Panther be here tomorrow.
It will be.
Brand new character. We'll be here in the studio tomorrow.
Hey, I've been watching the NFL combines, everybody. Not that anybody's interested in that. Mm-hmm. But I've got to find
Steve,
out
go ahead, please.
What's going on, because the Browns had two picks in the first four. And I'm on the mock drafts, they're saying that we're going to pick Sam Donaldson from USC as the quarterback. I would prefer that we pick Josh Allen out of Wyoming, that big country boy.
Because
I think he's going to duplicate the success of Terry Bradshaw.
Now, do they listen to you, Steve?
No, no.
Yeah, because when you say we, you act like you work with the Browns organization.
I know.
Yeah.
I want you to call them, though.
I do, man, because Hugh Jackson is up in there making some ignorant decisions. And now they say that Shaquan, the running back out of Penn State.
Shaquan Barkley?
Yeah. It's going to go to the New York Giants, which is hurting me because I wanted us to get him too.
Mm-hmm. You should call him, Steve.
I know.
Call him up.
I always tell him that.
Man.
They hear the jokes. They should take the call.
I know that's right.
You be doing them.
You should consider it, Steve.
We'll be back with the greatest morning show in the world with 30-something funny right after
this. Catch your team, baby.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve.
Yeah.
You were going to tell us about a story you had over the weekend.
Oh, a story I had on the weekend? Hell, I worked.
Always have great stories.
Yeah, I worked. What you want me to tell you about my weekend? It's over. Steve Harvey doesn't have any more free time until the summer.
Okay.
So I just worked. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I fixed my attitude about it.
Oh.
I am grateful to have work instead of out here in L.A. looking for work.
Now, you know what? That's a big and a major step right
there. Been there, done that one.
Yeah.
Woo! Man.
To be grateful for what you have, just to be grateful,
man,
yeah.
Listen to me. I know it's hard what I'm doing. I got that. But well, you know what's harder? Not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Just sitting at home.
And you know something? That's something I've discovered. You know, people talk about, man, you work so hard. Ain't nobody finna do all that. But can I tell you something? Because I've been not successful in my life. Mm-hmm. It is far more difficult to not succeed at something. It is far more difficult to not be on the track to accomplish something. To just be sitting there in your life, just letting days blow by and not knowing and working towards anything. Mm-hmm. That's horrible, man.
Waiting for something to come up, man.
Man, that's horrible. So that's why I want to commend all of you today, because you do work. You do go to work. You do have plans, aspirations, and dreams. You are trying to get things done and accomplished. And that right there is really like what it's about, you know.
Well, thank you for that commendation. Yeah. Appreciate that.
One thing.
That's nice.
Because not having work is, woo, it's a whole different way you shop when you don't have work.
Yeah, we've all been out of work now.
Your appearance when you don't have a job.
Your attitude.
A lot different.
What?
When you gonna get a haircut?
Yeah.
You be looking crazy. You know?
It's stuff you say when you ain't got. When you gonna fix that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dog, because little stuff, when you don't have money, little things go first.
Go first.
Like what?
The little things go first. You know. Like, for example, I didn't fix the brakes on my 72 Chevy.
Oh, God, been there, man.
When I heard the squeaking on the brake pads, I just ain't had the money. So I drove my car until there was no pad. Uh-huh. So when I stepped on the brake, the screws were stopping my car.
Yeah.
Against the drum. Oh, man, it was... Seriously, my car, when I put on the brake, sound like a train. Was coming into a train station. One dude was crossing the street one time. I had my window rolled down. I slammed brakes, scared the dude. So he said, man, you need to fix your damn brakes.
About to run up on him.
But he knew it was brakes immediately, though, by
You start stopping so far back from the stop.
You actually own the exit ramp. Hit your damn brake before you get to the light.
Dog.
What happened? You don't have that money.
What happened? Until you get that money.
Hey, one time, I was passing by a muffler shop, and brake shop, and I got to the stop sign, and when I stopped my car, two of the dudes were standing in front of the brake shop with their hands spread wide open like, you don't really think you don't need to come on here? But both their hands were spread out.
Dude,
like,
you need to come on in here, man.
You don't really think you need to come on in here?
Oh,
I
man.
Said, God, dog.
You ain't got no job.
You do what you can until you can, right?
Yeah.
Make it till you make it. The little things, huh?
Yeah.
Simple stuff go first.
And you eat different, too, man. Dude.
Like what?
Peanut butter and just peanut butter.
No bread, no jelly.
You ain't got no jelly. I'm going to make me a peanut butter and peanut butter sandwich.
You ain't got no money.
You ain't got no bread.
You need it right out the jar.
Oh, man, it's been rough, man. Shoot.
Yeah.
I've been done that. At the store, you know, I've shop po too, where I had to make it stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I done went to the store and bought a 10-pound bag of potatoes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That roll of bologna with the red paper around it.
Strip, yep.
And just walked out.
Yeah.
That's potatoes and bologna, because you can stretch potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, and don't find that big 5-pound sack of rice.
Man.
Not the one in the box. You're talking about the one in the sack.
Not
the box. Yeah.
The one going on your head.
Yeah. All the bags say is rice.
Right.
You don't know who it's by.
You ever bought just jelly where it said just jelly?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is generic food as good as the name brand food you all think?
Yes. And let me tell you why.
You think so?
Because sometimes there's some of the companies will just, you know, not to put the brand on, they can sell that also. So it gives them another audience, another group of people to sell
to. So same thing, just cheaper.
Same thing, just cheaper.
Without
right,
the brand.
Yeah. So they make them both for the money. Yeah.
Oh.
But you know what they do now, though? You know, back in the day, it was real generic. Mm-hmm. But now they have, like, the grocery store brand.
Yeah, right. So, like Ralph's brand, Kroger brand,
Walmart brand. Uh-huh. So it's not that bad.
Yeah. Right,
because I would go, who in the back making these greens?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I never could do. When I, you know, cereal, I can't buy a generic cereal.
Oh, man.
Because cereal
you don't even have a commercial.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
And that's what made me want your cereal.
Well, I figure for me, if you eat Raisin Bran, won't nobody touch it. It'll stay there. If I buy Raisin Bran, it'll be right in there. Anybody gonna steal it? You ain't got to worry about it.
Now, it's a weird story, man. My father-in-law loves Raisin Bran. So when he comes to the house, my mother-in-law, mama does this. She makes his Raisin Bran, fills it up with Raisin Bran, fills it up with milk. It's got to be flooded.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to sit for at least an hour.
And get soggy?
Yeah.
Like an oatmeal.
Right. Oh, no.
And then he come in and eat it.
Soggy. That's what he want, though.
Soggy Raisin Bran. Wow.
So the first time I saw it at the house, I don't do no housework, but that day I saw it. I said, who the hell left this Raisin Bran? I threw it away.
Boy, that was a fight, wasn't it?
Boy, it was a problem.
What happened, Steve?
It was a problem at a house.
It was a situation.
We'll be back with church complaints coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with our national news for today, which includes the latest on that deadly winter storm, Riley, that hit the Northeast this past weekend. But right now, it is time for church complaints. Let's go, pastors.
Oh, Lord, gracious. Father.
Yes.
Most High. We done made it to another Monday.
Uh-huh.
But along with us making it to another Monday, here comes the haters from the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Always something wrong here. I call this the most ungrateful congregation ever gathered under the cross. And who brings their complaints? None other than supposedly my boy
that I bought in.
Who was working at the brake and muffler store.
Yes, I was. Yes.
And now I made him one of the top deacons here. And he brings the complaints. Deacon Death Jail.
Yeah, but I can still fix your brakes if you need me to. I still know how to do that now.
I wish you'd put the brakes on some of these complaints.
Okay, this is what the congregation gives me. I have to give it to you.
Let's go. Oh, you.
All right.
A little louder, Deacon, please.
I'm in the mic. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You ain't supposed to be in it. You're supposed to be on it.
All right. The church wants to
start. That's so much better.
Yes.
All right. The church wants to start our own Uber called Chuba, and we will pick up church folks and drop them off, but they want to use your car, Pastor, to start this service. Chuba is the name of it. Uh-huh.
Church Uber.
Yeah, Church Uber. That's
C-H.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, Chuba. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to happen, Deacon. You're not my ride.
It would bring money to the
Cadillac.
Church.
I didn't. Right. I took the money out the church to buy the Cadillac. Why would I get a Cadillac back to the church to bring the money back in?
That's why people don't like to go to church.
Well, I sure ain't going to go pick up a bunch of people that don't like me.
Using the church funds.
Well, wouldn't that be a good way of paying the church back from what you took, Pastor?
I'm not paying the church back. That's part of the expenses.
Okay. Okay, but that's not in no paperwork that you can do that. You do know that, don't you?
I haven't seen any paperwork, D. I don't get paperwork from the Cadillac dealership either, because I paid cash.
So let me write this down.
Paperwork leaves a paper trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. Preach.
So you have taken some of the church money and bought you a car without the permission.
No, I took a donation from the church,
okay,
which was given to me in the form of a love offering.
Oh.
And they loved me so much, they bought the Cadillac.
Mm. Okay.
Now, what the problem is, Deacon?
Does the people in the treasury, do they know this? Because I don't, this first time I'm hearing about you getting somebody giving you a love offering this big enough to buy a Cadillac.
Excuse me?
This is the first time I'm hearing about a love offering big enough to buy you a Cadillac.
Oh, so I understand. Didn't you, the deacon, didn't you count the money?
I count all the money. We ain't
raising
money.
Well, you the one give it to me.
Oh.
No, 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 no. You're not
No. You collect the offering. You count it. You give it to me. Now, I didn't get it in one collection. I've been saving it.
Oh.
Ah, okay. All right.
The years, we've collected enough for the Cadillac.
Listen, I'm not going to say nothing to the members about this, but because I don't, this could get ugly. But I'm not going to say nothing about this. But I don't,
Let it get ugly. What are you going to do?
I ain't taking it back. I would advise you not to let any members know that that's where this Cadillac come from. That I'm just telling you.
Deacon, I ain't working nowhere. What you think this is? This has not been a secret. This is the love offering that I have received, the love offering. Mm-hmm. And in the love offering, they give it to me, and I save my money and bought the Cadillac. What the problem is?
Let me move on.
I see the problem here.
What, Pastor?
What is the problem?
Are you saying, are you trying to hurt me by saying to me that the that the congregation don't love me?
Ooh. I did not. No. I did not say that. Ooh. I didn't say that. Now,
well, that seemed to me like what you leading to.
Wait a minute. Are y'all feeling hurt?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it.
You, all that I've given to the jackpot joint of Jerusalem. First of all, the name.
All them sermons.
But you think you deserve to take money and buy yourself a Cadillac?
Yes.
It's called a love offering, Deacon. What do you do with your salary?
I've never seen that much love come through the church. But if you say something.
Well, they don't love you as much as they love me. I've been pastoring at this church 31 years. Now I done saved 31 years of love offering and finally bought a Cadillac. Aww. Now we got a problem with that?
Aww.
Okay. All right.
Be damned.
Pastor.
Let me just move along. We're going to leave the car where it is. We're not going to get into that. Now, listen.
Oh, no, the car right out front in that special reserve place.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't.
I got two diggers out there washing it now.
All right. Listen, Sister Nadine Ridgeway had a hip replacement last month. Now, she got it done at a veterinarian clinic. For some reason, she keeps barking during service, and it's bothering the members. You're going to have to talk to
her. I love it.
Well, now, let's put this out there.
That's funny.
Brother Sister Nadine, I took her down there in the Cadillac. See? Yeah.
So now you Ubering people in this Cadillac.
No, I didn't Uber her. I took her down there. But that, she said, give me a ride as far as you going. And as far as I was going was to the veterinarian. I had to make a left. Well, I didn't know she was going to go in there.
Well, she went in there and got the hip replacement, but for some reason she barking doing service. So we gonna
have to. The hospital was on the next corner. When I let out on the corner, all she had to do was going down one more corner. She got hip replacement at hospital. Now, she just set up in here and got this dog replaced me. She got dog hip put in. Going to be some barking.
It's going to be some barking.
You going to mess with me. I tell you one thing. I tell you what's going to happen here. She gonna mess around.
Be quiet, Chet.
I don't know why she thinks that's humorous. It's so.
Pastor, what do you want to do about this woman barking in service?
I don't care what she do about the barking in service. That's none of our. I haven't heard her yet. She must be barking soft.
All right.
All right, coming up with the. What?
Bark us out of here.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with today's national news. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ooh, last night was the 90th Annual Academy Awards. It was hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy was funny last night.
Say something?
Yes, of course.
What? I didn't see it. Can I just say, somebody
it was
asked
long,
me why I didn't see
it. Yeah. The Oscars were forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody asked me why I didn't see it.
Why you didn't see it? Why didn't you see it?
I was working.
You were working?
Hey, Shirley and Carla have some updates for us on the Oscars that I wasn't able to see because I was working.
Our girls, Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph, they stole the show, holding their shoes because their feet were hurting when they came out on stage. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And then the hashtag OscarsSoWhite reference. Take a listen.
We are so happy to be here, but a little nervous too, because a few years ago, people were saying that Oscars were so white. And since then, some real progress has been made.
Mm-hmm. But when we came out together, we know some of you were thinking, are the Oscars too black now?
But we just want to say, don't worry. There are so many more white people to come to.
Mm-hmm. So many. We just came from backstage, and there are tons of them back there.
Tons of them. Mm-hmm.
The moment of the evening belonged to Frances McDormand. When she won Best Actress Award, you know, for the movie Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Shirley, you saw the movie. Jay, you guys saw the movie. She had all the women nominees in the room to stand up.
Take a listen.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors, Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will. Come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers. Come on.
Frances ended her speech, though, with two words, inclusion writer. And everyone, it was all over social media. What is an inclusion writer? And an inclusion writer is a clause in an actor's contract that requires the cast and crew to be diverse in order to retain the actor. Shout out to Frances McDormand.
They didn't let you off for the Oscars?
You know what? I ain't even... I'd be damned. I'm gonna start asking.
Yeah, you ain't never asked.
That's a good idea, Shirley. Yeah. Hey, could I be off for the Oscars?
I'm gonna do this, but I got to be off for the Oscars.
Yeah. I can hear the first thing out their mouth. You ain't finna win one.
But you got to be off for.
Yeah.
How does this affect you?
Yeah.
You our bottom be off line. For the Oscars, Steven, you are up for what?
Well, who do you ask to be off? We don't even know. Who do you ask? We gotta ask you to be off.
Who do you ask to be off?
Who do you ask
to be off?
Well, I don't really ask to be off. I just tell whatever deal I'm in to move a date that I won't be here for this or something.
Like every Wednesday you're off from the TV show. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the talk show, I'm just off on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's everybody's off. Like so I don't have to ask for that.
And you won't do nothing on that day.
Well, I try not to do nothing on that day, Jay, but I wind up, like I always say, I ask my team not to book any meetings. Don't do any other TV appearances, because when people get a hold of my schedule and they see that Wednesday, they start drumming up stuff they need, like promotion shoots and stuff.
Let me
like
stop
that.
You right there, Steve. Do you ask them or do you do it in memo form?
Wow.
I'm just asking.
That was not
I cannot believe that. I want you all to understand something. Mm. Steve Harvey.
In person.
Since that memo leaked, Steve Harvey ain't typed nothing.
Hair email.
Not a one.
Nah, man. Nah. Hey, man, the way they did me, I said, okay.
Yeah. You had the memo habit. Right.
That's pretty stank.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they was pretty stank on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody, and good morning. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Thousands of homes and businesses from Virginia to New England still without power this morning following Friday's nor'easter, which is blamed for 9 deaths, by the way. The Trump administration had set today as the deadline to end DACA. That's the Obama-era program that protects the dreamers, people brought here illegally as young children. But Congress had been working on new legislation but has so far failed to put anything together. And now an appeal is to be decided by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So in other words, the DACA, the dreamers, are still in their situation is still in flux. Senator Chris Murphy says that President Trump is the only one who can shepherd through tougher gun laws through the Congress. Murphy, who was on ABC's This Week, says unwavering presidential leadership is what we need.
Republicans have been so tied to the NRA over the years that unless he tells them that they have to move, nothing's going to happen. And sort of like what happened on immigration, there's a meeting in which he suggests he's willing to do a deal, and then he walks away from the table.
Which is why Connecticut Democrat says that he expects Trump to continue to, quote, bob and weave on this issue. President Trump also still insisting, meanwhile, on imposing tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, a proposal that critics say could anger U.S. allies and cause a trade war. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross was on NBC's Meet the Press defending Donald Trump, while Maine's independent Senator Angus King was critical.
I think you have to take the president at his word.
You want to do these kinds of things with a scalpel, not a chainsaw.
Senator King says Trump's tariffs would punish allies like Canada, a top exporter of steel and aluminum to the U.S., industries that use it to make everything from cars to soup cans. Schools in West Virginia closed for the 8th day today, school day anyway, thanks to a continuing teacher strike. AIPAC, or the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, opened a 3-day meeting in Washington on Sunday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who Israeli police reportedly want to see indicted for alleged corruption, is scheduled to address the group after meeting with President Trump later today. The movie Black Panther continues to roll and made $65 million extra dollars over the weekend. And among the winners of this year's Academy Awards, Kobe Bryant for Best Animated Short Film, Dear Basketball, Who Knew, He Wrote, and Jordan Peele, who won for Best Original Screenplay for Get Out, Get Out, for Best Film, The Shape of Water. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, on Friday night, I don't know if you guys heard about this. Hip-hop artist Rick Ross was rushed to the hospital after reportedly suffering a heart attack. In 2011, Rick Ross suffered 2 seizures within hours and later openly discussed his poor health habits. Now, this is according to TMZ. Rick is in the hospital hooked up to a machine that is performing heart and lung functions, although Rick Ross' friends and family, they're denying that claim that he's on life support. Now, we all know that 50 Cent and Rick Ross have been mortal enemies. They've been beefing for a long, long time. So now, according to TMZ again, people are mad at 50 Cent because he posted a shocking picture that is clearly directed at his longtime enemy, Rick Ross. Some feeling like he's mocking Rick Ross. The picture 50 Cent posted is of Ivan Drago from one of the Rocky movies. The precise scene is when Drago is standing over Apollo Creed. We all remember this as Creed is dying. And Drago says, if he dies, he dies. Come on, 50.
50 is just cold-blooded. Yeah. So now he posted that saying, if he dies, he dies, about Rick Ross.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's not very sensitive, very insensitive. Stars from the hip-hop industry, including Drake, Snoop, Chris Rock, Diddy, Missy Elliott, LL Cool J, French Montana, and more are all praying for Rick Ross, as we all are.
He's an important cat, you know. All of us are important to somebody, but he just happens to be a famous person. He's a good dude, man. I've only met him once, but he just he seems like a good dude to me, man. I don't wish nothing on my enemies like that.
No.
Because I don't want it to happen to me.
Right. And you know, just because that's not how you roll. Yeah, you treat people how you want to be treated.
But 50 got way too much going on to carry that.
Yeah, come on, 50.
You know, and if it was done in humor, he missed.
Check with us, 50, next time.
With some real comedians.
That's what we do.
Yeah, man. And we say it's over the line, please.
It's over the line.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go with that one.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you know, that beef goes back a long time. Yeah, remember the whole baby mama sex tape thing, 50 and Rick Ross?
This would be a good time for 50 to step up and wish him well and squash the beef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take the high road. Yeah.
Take the high road.
At least get out of here.
Okay, now listen to this. God forbid something happened to Ricky Rose. Mm-hmm. What do that weigh in you? It changes your position in life. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Nothing happens.
Yeah, well, again, we're all praying for Rick Ross. We really are. All right. Well, coming up after 34 after the hour, J. Anthony Brown is here, of course, to do what? To murder another hit.
Murder another hit.
Murder.
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 We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, Steve, he's here. Introduce your boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll forever do J. Anthony Brown.
Thank you. This is going to be a little hit Steve and I put together. We like to call it Off the Cuff.
Oh.
Off the Cuff, because that's exactly what it is. But before we play the hit, I'd like to thank all the people who came out to celebrate Paul Mooney and honor Dick Gregory. You know,
oh, yeah.
So
how was that?
It was so good, man. We played the video of Dick Gregory. Mm-hmm. A lot of comics had never seen him do stand-up, back in the day. And then we had Paul Mooney sit on the stage. London Brown did an impression, a dead-on impression of Paul Mooney while he was standing right there. And it was great, man. I'd like to thank everybody who came out. And to the Chase spot. Yeah, it was to honor him, Steve, and you know.
I wouldn't have done no time, but I would have said something about him, man, because he really influenced me.
Yeah, he's a legend, man. And when you use the word, you don't use the word lightly, but he is definitely a legend in comedy, man. He changed the game for a lot of people out here. So, with that being said, this is a little ditty we like to call Off the Cuff, Steve Harvey and J. Anthony Brown on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Watch
everybody around the world. You are listening.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Oh, yeah. Want you to do it now?
We are listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Want to do it.
Yeah, we go. I'm about to
do it now.
Introduce them to you.
Here we go.
We're going to start with the ladies.
Yeah.
They make the show real gravy.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to know. She's been with the beginning of the show. She's the one with the voice. She's the lady's choice. I'm talking about Shirley.
Talking about Shirley.
Good morning.
Talking about Shirley.
Come on.
Good morning.
It's Shirley. Running down my street, running down.
And here we go. Uh-huh. Let's move it on.
Yeah,
got another lady on the show.
Yeah,
ain't ever on the phone.
She run
things from out west.
Uh-huh.
She make us do our best.
Yeah.
Take all the meeting with the white folk.
Uh-huh.
Come back, tell us what we don't know.
I make a dollar. I'm talking about Carla.
I make a dollar.
I'm talking about Carla. Running down, Steve. Running down, some more.
Here we go.
Hey.
We're starting to do it.
Hey.
About to introduce him to it.
Yeah.
Bought him out of Houston, Fifth Wall.
Woo.
Didn't know he didn't have the right car.
Ah.
Bought and moved up in the world.
Uh-huh.
Dressed now for all the little girls.
Hey.
Got a suit on every day.
Hey.
Walk in here like the money he made.
I'm the man, he won't ruin ya. You know I'm talking about Julia. Oh, yeah. Julia. Julia. Junior. Running down, Steve.
Here go. This here next one.
Uh-huh.
Came in a trade.
Yo, yeah.
Was on another show.
Uh-huh.
Then he left one damn day.
Uh-huh.
Came over here, everything looking. Found out he could actually cook it.
Uh-huh.
We ain't let him talk on this show.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He ain't been silenced no more.
Yeah.
Everybody think that he on the round.
Uh-huh.
Everybody know that he from the ground.
Uh-huh.
But I'm talking about my main man.
Uh-huh.
His name J. Anthony Brown.
Brown. Brown. Brown. Brown. Brown. Brown. Brown. Brown.
I'm brown, 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 brown. I'm brown, 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 brown. Running down, running down, running down. Steve some more.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Uh-huh. You know they say last but not least,
uh-huh.
But it got the less sense of us all.
Uh-huh.
Damn near stupid and profound.
Uh-huh.
I think it fell when he was a baby.
Uh-huh.
Something happened, maybe I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Stupid as he wanna be.
I think he
but
is
the king of the pranks is what we call him.
And I
stupid
think
as stupid as he can be.
I think he's here to harm me. Everybody talking about Tommy. Tommy.
Tommy.
Tommy.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Man,
we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's strawberry letter, subject, you did what? Where? Okay, that's the title. That's the subject. But up next is the nephew with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Pizza.
Huh?
Delivery to jail. Hello.
I love pizza.
Pizza delivery
to jail.
To jail. Come on.
General Pizza. May I help you?
Hello, I'm trying to order pizza.
Okay, can you hold for me, please?
All right.
Okay, sorry about that, sir. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I need to order 10 pizzas.
You want 10 pizzas? And what kind of crust was that going to be?
I need 6.
Can you talk up on me, please?
I need 6 cheese pizzas.
Six?
6 cheese pizzas on thin crust.
What kind of crust was that again?
Thin.
Thin. 6 cheese thin crust pizzas. And do you want any other toppings on that, sir?
No, I need two meat lovers.
What was that again? Can you speak up a little bit? I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
I need 2 meat lovers.
2 meat lovers, is that?
Yes, 2 meat lovers.
2 meat lovers pizza. Okay, and what kind of crust would you like on that, sir?
That's thick crust.
You said you wanted thin crust on that?
Thick.
Sir, I'm having a really hard time hearing you. Can you speak up for me?
I need 2 meat lovers with thick crust.
Thick crust. Okay. Okay.
All right. And then the last is 2 veggies on thin crust.
2 veggies?
Veggies. Veggies.
Veggies. 2 veggies. 2 veggies on the thick crust.
Do y'all deliver to gated community?
Okay, can you hold for a second for me, please, sir? Okay, sorry about that, sir. Okay, can I get your phone number?
342-689.
Okay, I heard 342-689, but I didn't get the rest of those numbers. Can I get an area code or?
No, my number 342-689.
Okay, I need to get the whole 7 digits and the area code so that we can put you in the computer to try to find your location.
I told you my number. My number is 342-689.
Okay, sir. Let me get my manager on the phone. Excuse me, wait. There's a new phone. Uh-huh. He's giving me like 6 numbers.
I'll take care of it. Sir, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, I ordered 10 pizzas, 6 cheese pizzas, 2 meat lovers, and 2 veggies. I'm trying to see if, do y'all have a problem delivering to a gated community?
Oh, not at all. We deliver to a gated community all the time. Let me just get a number for you and an address.
Right. My number, 342-689.
Sir, that's only 6 digits. We need 7 digits. Well, actually, your area code plus your 7 digits.
Okay. I don't. If you just leave it with the guard, he'll make sure I get it.
No, sir, I don't think you understand. I need to have a phone number where I can call you. We can go in and out of the gate. That's not a problem. When I get there, I want to deliver directly to you.
You can't go in and out that gate. Listen, you can't go in and out that gate.
Sir, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up some?
Okay. I'm trying to get 10 pizzas delivered, and you just drop it off with the guard.
Sir, I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to deliver the pizza to you directly. The guard is not who's getting the pizza, right? I'm delivering it.
Well, he gonna pay you. I'm cool with the guard. He gonna pay you.
Okay. Well, where are you located? Let's do this. Where are you located?
I'm in Angola.
Angola?
Angola.
Where is Angola?
Angola.
Angola, Louisiana?
The penitentiary.
Huh?
So we can't deliver pizza to Angola penitentiary?
Look, I ordered 10 pizzas from her. Six cheese pizzas, 2 meat lovers, and 2 veg. Look, I can't be on this phone too much longer.
Listen, sir, I know what you're saying, but we're not delivering to Angola. Do you know where we're located? You got to call somebody. We're in Dallas. Look, you got to call somebody in Angola, Louisiana.
Look, I'm trying to get these 10 pizzas. Look, lady, I'm not finna go back and forth with you.
Exactly, and I'm not going to go back and forth with you either. We are unable to deliver this pizza to you, okay?
Why?
Because you are in the penitentiary, sir. No one delivers pizza to people in the penitentiary.
People in the penitentiary can't order pizza?
No, sir, they cannot. We do not deliver to the penitentiary. And then we're in Dallas. Do you know how long it would take to get pizza to Angola?
I don't give a... Let me tell you, okay, who the manager there?
I am the manager. You're speaking with the manager.
What's your name?
Never mind what my name is. Just know that I'm the manager.
Okay, let me say this to you, since you're the manager there. If I don't get no pizzas here tonight, when I get out in 3 years, I'm coming down there and I'm going to f*** you up.
So who the f*** you think you're talking to? You ain't going to f*** me up. In 3 years, I won't be here. But matter of fact, I just might stay here for 3 years. So when you come back...
Let me tell you something. If y'all don't bring these pieces to this penitentiary and get it to the guard before he get off work, then it's going to be some... around here. Now, I didn't order these 10 pizzas and everybody on the cell block is waiting on them.
Sir, I don't care about you and your folk on your cell block. You are in the penitentiary and I don't even know why you calling. Are you on my phone? This is a business, okay? And I have a job to do. I am not delivering pizzas to a penitentiary.
So y'all discriminating about where y'all bring pizzas at?
No, we don't discriminate, but we ain't located in Angola unless you're going to give me some petrol for my metro. I ain't coming.
Let me tell you something. I want you to remember these numbers. 342-689. If you see that spray painted on your house or that damn pizza place, then you know my and got out and I'm looking for your 342-689.
I don't give a about 342-689 and 743. What I'm saying is your is grass if you come up here in 3 years and guess what? Don't drop the soap.
Who you think you talking to?
That's what I said.
Who you think you talking to?
You better get off my phone.
I got one more thing to tell you before I get out in 3 years. What? These are the last words I'm going to say to you.
Hey, what's that?
You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. Say what you got to say.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your girlfriend got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, my goodness. You got to be freaking kidding me, man. Oh, my God. Oh, God, this is Nephew Tommy.
You know, every now and then, you know, an inmate want a pizza. You know what I'm saying? You know? You're laying up in there in your cell and you think about some pepperoni. You want a pizza. You understand how it go.
No, they all want freedom.
I like to order that.
Oh, they want it.
Oh, yeah.
I like to order.
Oh, bro.
And that was prison.
You're deep. Man.
People in the penitentiary need pepperoni too, Carla. Okay.
Wow.
But prison is not the place you really ask for pepperoni. You just go with mushrooms. Trust me on that one. Okay.
All right. Hey, I'm doing it again.
You want sausage.
You just went
ahead and said it, huh, Steve?
Yeah, ain't no leaving that joke out there open the end of people trying to figure
you
out.
You just couldn't let it go. It's there.
Because the average person that's listening don't know that pepperoni comes in sausage.
Yeah. If they can slice
you see
it up.
The pizza's just sliced. Look like they look disc.
No,
you just
it actually
to
has
say
a very, very familiar look to it.
Thick, too.
And if you're in prison, you don't be asking for that, do you, Steve? Uh-huh.
No, sir. Just wanted to be there for you, clear that up.
Right. You just wanted to say it.
Let the joke up.
Yeah. Hey, let me put this out there if y'all don't mind. I am Friday night, Salisbury, Maryland, Friday night, with Comico Youth and Convention Center. The Nephew is at it again. With Comico Youth and Convention Center, Salisbury, Maryland. And I thank everybody in the BMO, Baltimore, Maryland, selling out 6 shows. Yes, sir. I want to say thank you.
Right.
Uncle Steve, that 4:30 yeah, show, ahead. Boy. That 4:30 show, man. I sold out that 4:30 show, boy. You hear me?
Mm. OK. Okay, so the mentoring is working. But...
That was not mentoring. He did this on his own.
The mentoring ain't going anywhere. I ain't. It's March. I ain't talked to this boy yet. We're going to come back and talk about mentoring right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, before we get to the letter subject, you did what? Where?
No, before.
Steve?
No, before we get to the letter, I just want to discuss this mentoring with Tommy.
Oh, okay.
I just want to inform y'all that it is now, let me see, it is now March the 5th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I ain't heard from this boy.
You said the only time it even comes up is if I bring it up. That's what you said last week.
Yeah. So I just want y'all to know that, you know, hey.
No.
Hey.
Wait a minute. Okay, Steve, because you're really busy.
Sir, let me do this.
Okay. Eh?
Okay. What time you get home tonight? I just come by you and A. Marjorie's and hang out over there. What time you getting eat?
No, you ain't come to my house tonight.
What do you want me to come during the day?
Dog, I work. I got jobs.
Well, I just stay there till you get there.
When I come home, I don't want to see you. I've been at work all day, dog.
Do you want me to come by the studio where you're shooting the TV show? Want me to come
Yeah. That's what everybody else do.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Now, you could easily been by here. Dog, I've been here every day. Ain't a Junior?
Yes, you have, sir.
Junior, how many times have you called me and met with me this year, you think?
I think 10.
At least 10 times.
The minimum.
How do I get on the lot?
I'll take care of that for you, Tommy. Don't worry about
that.
Okay,
cool.
Bam. There you go.
Okay, if you take care of you, ain't going to get on. I can tell you that.
Why you say that, Jay?
Oh, man. Oh, he going to wear you out of that gate. This is a guy to get miles. How you spelling that, sir?
With a Y or an I?
With a Y.
Hey,
Yeah.
I got a chance to get 2 tickets, man. Would you let me know if you would you like to go with me?
Go
two
with
tickets
you where?
To the Masters.
Wow.
And then in the VIP section, man, G Garvin is cooking. It's all you can eat. It's plush, man. So let me know if you can roll with your nephew and hang out a little bit. You know, when you ain't working your 50 job, can you hang out
That's
with your nephew?
Nice.
And maybe we can do some Masters then.
Well, the Masters is on the weekend and I'm working.
First weekend in April. Okay.
Yeah, I work every weekend, Tommy. I kid you not.
I thought I'd ask you for it.
First of all, that goggling and throat clearing, don't neither one of y'all play golf.
But I'm on Team Tommy.
I mean,
if anybody should go, it should be Team Tommy.
I've been there longer than Jay.
So, Jay, you can play?
No, not at all. No.
I can caddy my behind.
I can tell you what club to use. You look like a 9-9, man. You in the trap? You might need a 9 or a sand wedge. Now, I know the game, Steve. I got piddling to do.
Hey, Shirley and Carla have some updates for us on the Oscars that I wasn't able to see because I was working.
That's right, Steve. What an exciting night. It was long, though. Woo.
Girl, the Oscars are long, right,
Shirley? I know, yes. Shout out to Mary J. Blige, though. Yeah. She looked beautiful last night.
Yes.
Shout out to Mary J., Denzel, everyone that was in the house.
Dave Chappelle, Lupita Nyong'o, Chadwick Boseman was there. Oh. King T'Challa was in the building.
Yes, he was. And I struggle pronouncing his name, but it's Daniel Kaluuya. Love him.
Okay.
All right, nephew, take us to the letter. Yeah, it's long.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter.
Subject, you did what? Where? All right. Dear Stephen Shirley, I met the love of my life. This beautiful woman was so perfect, I could not believe she was still single. Well, after dating her for 6 months, I figured out exactly why she is not married. She has a bizarre, nasty habit. It all started to go downhill when I took her around my friends for the first time. We went to a house party and had a good time eating and drinking. The next day, my friend called me upset because someone had relieved themselves in his bathroom drawer.
What?
To put it politely, it was not urine.
What?
He thought someone had had too much to drink and made a mistake. 2 months later, my lady and I went to play cards at another friend's home. The next day, my buddy called me and was very upset because someone had relieved themselves in his son's closet. It's odd to me that it's happened twice, but I don't dwell on it. A week later, my lady and I went to my brother's house for a cookout. The next day, same thing. My brother called me and said he had discovered a mess on the back seat of his SUV. Now, there have been 3 incidents, and it's starting to get really weird. So I mentioned it to my girl. I told her that everywhere we had been, someone had left a surprise for the homeowner each time. Her response blew my mind. She shamefully admitted that it was her all 3 times. She said she can't help it. She likes to relieve herself in odd places when she goes out. She said she tried therapy for many years, but nothing has worked. I consulted a psychiatrist on my own, and he said that the problem is very common and that I should stay with her and support her. I was going to marry this woman, but now I'm thinking that marriage would not be a good idea. What's your advice? Should I throw in the towel now or stay with her and help her through this? All right, my apple is going to be very short and very simple.
Money.
Run as fast as you can. This is not a good look. Run. Something medically is wrong with her, mentally is wrong with her. Therapy didn't help her. I don't think anything can be helped by this situation. This is crazy and nasty. Steve, run. I say run.
Boy, make me proud. Come on, boy.
You know, things like this is what I specialize in. This is why I'm a proponent of why go to school when you could do comedy. See, education will get in the way of what I'm about to say. Schooling and proper technique and discussing what could have gone wrong in her childhood, how normal this is in behavior, clinically what this is called. Well, there is no clinical name for this. Let's call this what it is. This is just
Yeah. Come on, boy. Come on.
That's all this is.
What is it again?
They can't believe I said it.
Come on.
Say it one more time.
Just bleep it, cat. All this is, and you can't call this nothing else. Listen to me. This is flat out. You just running around just wherever you want to.
Yeah.
Now, when we come back, we're going to give a different name to it. We're going to call it Sugar Honey Iced Tea.
But what really is it, Steve?
But right now, we all know you're just walking around s***.
Nasty. So nasty. And disgusting.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part 2 of your response.
Hey, here we are. You've all heard it.
Please, the subject?
Wait a minute. Let me get the subject out. You did what? Where? Go ahead, Jay.
I just want to say this,
where's
Steve?
Where's the question?
Can I say it one time?
No, you cannot.
Please let me say it.
No, you cannot. Please. You don't do it. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Please. This is just I feel so much better now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. Thank you, man.
Disgusting.
Now, let me explain something to you. You met this beautiful woman. You can't believe she's still single. But then you found out why she's still single. Because she got a disgusting habit. She likes to relieve herself in odd places. She done went over your friend's house. She done sugar honey iced tea in the drawer in the bathroom. She went over another buddy house. She done sugar honey iced tea in his son's closet. Then she went over your brother's house, set her fucking ass up in the back seat of his SUV, and sugar honey iced tea in there. Now this right here is a nasty heifer. Let's call this what it is. Now you can marry her if you want to, but you're gonna be walking around your house discovering stuff. You're going to one day open up your laptop. Be dead. Who in the hell did sugar honey iced tea on this damn keyboard? You know who it is. It's her. That's why her fine behind ain't got nobody. Because ain't nobody solving that. You're going to be sitting here putting on your coat one day.
Come on, man.
Stick your hand in your pocket. Who in the hell did sugar honey iced tea in this jacket pocket? You nasty. You can't stay with nobody like this, man.
No.
You ain't got the training for this. You sit up in here, y'all in the living room having a good time. You go over there to start a fire. What are these logs in this damn fire? You the sugar honey iced tea in the fireplace?
Everywhere.
It's just everywhere. You going down there in the basement. You gonna wash a load of clothes. You open up the lid. I'll be dead. She the sugar honey iced tea in the damn washing machine. You sitting up in here. You go in the bathroom, you ain't paying no attention. You use the bathroom where you supposed to use it. You flush the toilet like you supposed to. You get up and go to the sink to wash your hands, and this heifer, the sugar honey iced tea in the damn sink. You sitting up in here, you got company coming over. Everybody done got hungry. One of the little kids say, can I have some cereal? You go up there and open up the cabinet to get a bowl down. You pull the bowl down. This heifer, the sugar honey iced tea in the baby cereal bowl.
Oh, God.
This is why she can't stay with nobody. You outside cutting the grass.
Yeah.
You just run up. All of a sudden, you stop and go, we ain't got no dog. What?
When did she come out here?
She came out here and sugar honey iced tea in the yard. Boy, you better run. Shirley said run. You can't stay with a person like this because it's going to keep popping up.
Man.
He said he threw in the towel.
Because she likes to
roll
do
of toilet
it.
Paper. That's what he needs to do.
She enjoys doing this.
But see, don't nobody enjoy finding it.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Not what you like to do. I don't give a damn how much I love you, and I don't care how fine you are. What I'm not going to be doing.
This is where you draw the line.
Is go over to my draw trying to get dressed for work, and I'm looking for a tie, and you done messed around and all over the tie.
Oh, my God.
This don't make no damn sense.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting up in here. I'm outside. It's a barbecue.
Yeah.
I got friends over. I'm finna start a fire. I go get everything. I'll open up a bag of charcoal, and I'll be damned. You're set up here and sugar honey iced tea in the damn charcoal. Cannot.
Man.
You cannot.
No.
Marry this girl.
Yeah. No.
She already has said she's gone to therapy, and it does not help. So now, what are you going to do?
What, Jay?
He probably did it in the doctor's office. Man.
What's the name of that therapy, Uncle?
You getting married and say, I do, and then I right there.
No, you can't.
This is disgusting.
No, that is disgusting.
Can you give me
this
one?
This is the best one ever.
Unbelievable,
man.
This is one word.
You think this is the best
So
letter.
Listen to me. This is not profanity. This is one word.
Okay.
The clinical term for this is shy-to-ritis.
Really?
Shy-to-ritis?
S-H-I. T-E-R-I-Z-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
It's called shy-to-ritis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you hood, you're not going to be able to pronounce it that way, which is the way I prefer. But it is S-H-I, shy, T-E-R, ter, R-I-Z-U-S. It's called shy-to-ritis.
Man.
I ain't never heard
Some
that.
People have called it she.
Okay.
She.
Careful.
Tarius.
Careful.
He on his way.
Oh,
some people have called it.
Really?
But whatever way you choose to say it, I think we all understand what it is. But the correct term is shy Tarius. Mm-hmm. It's S-H-I, pause, T-E-R, pause, I-Z-U-S. And that's what she has. Yeah. There is no cure for it.
Give me some more.
Yeah.
Give me two more locations.
Give me some more places where she didn't find. Where he didn't found it.
Yeah. You sitting up in here. Thanksgiving is over. Mm-hmm. Now this produce a lot of. Thanksgiving is over. You wake up the next day. You hungry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You open up the refrigerator, you gonna warm up the greens. You open up the top and oh, damn. I know this heifer. He set up here and sugar, honey, iced tea to these damn greens. Everybody gonna hate honey.
Thankfully, it is time to go. Email
Shirley,
us.
I know you enjoyed that. Thank you for allowing me to shine. That is my favorite letter this year.
Thank you, Uncle. Over here.
That is nice.
All right, Steve, we gotta go. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, the Oscars were last night. And we got to talk about the Oscars.
We got to do this right here, Shirley.
We need one more. We need one more.
One more strawberry letter. Oh, we're not going back to this letter. No.
Yes, we need one more.
What was the strawberry letter
about? Oh, my God. The subject, you did what, where. This man wrote in about this beautiful woman he had met. He couldn't believe she was single.
Yeah.
A few months into their relationship, he found out why. Because she's nasty and disgusting. She has a nasty and disgusting habit.
And what's
she defecates.
Yeah.
In uncommon places.
Yeah.
She done went over to his brother's house and doo-dooed in the back seat of the SUV.
Yeah.
Done took a squat in one of her friend's son's closet.
Yeah.
And was at her other boy's house and relieved herself in a drawer in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So what y'all want from me?
We need one more.
Can I give you two?
Yes. I want to move on.
Can I give you two?
Give me two.
Yes. Give us two, man.
Here's one. You going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to cut back and save.
Right, right.
You ain't buying lunches no more.
Okay.
You brown bagging it. You sit down at the table. You open up your bag and I be damned. She done set up here and sugar honey iced tea in your lunch bag, which gives a whole new meaning to brown bag. And here's the last one.
Come on.
You driving down the street,
right?
All of a sudden.
Oh.
Yeah.
You hear the police. You pull over.
Okay.
The police come up to the window. You already black. You're nervous.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen. You roll the window down. He asked for license and registration.
Oh, no.
You open up the glove compartment. She is sugar honey iced tea all over the registration. Now you gotta hand this to the police. You don't think you're going to jail.
Oh my God.
Are you quite done? Okay.
Thank you, Shirley.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you so much.
Just one more.
I wanna thank y'all for this letter.
Just one more.
Right, you at work.
Right, right.
After that.
You giving a big presentation.
Right.
Yeah.
In the boardroom in front of the CEO, head of marketing, and everything.
Yeah.
You've been nervous about this. You done worked on your presentation all week long, all night long. It's 8:30. You pacing. You get inside. It's time for you to do the presentation. All eyes on you. You open your briefcase, and I'll be damned. This heifer just sugar honey iced tea all over my presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody looking at the briefcase. Oh, this rank. As soon as you open it up, everybody, what the hell?
All right, take a bow. We're done. We're moving on.
Big round of applause. Big round of applause.
Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Jay.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Junior. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah,
Carla,
man.
Love you, girl.
So disgusting.
Thank you so much. Shirley.
Whatever.
For allowing God's gift that he gave me. To take even a mundane and disgusting subject and turn it into moments of brilliance.
Man.
And for all of y'all out there that was offended, grow up.
All right, well, the Oscars were last night, as we mentioned. A lot of people were there. Chad was.
That was
Boseman.
Another one too.
What happened?
At the Oscars.
They set up here.
No, no, no.
And handed that man that
we
damn
have to
Oscar.
Move on.
And he turned it over, and she done sugar honey iced tea all over the bottom of them Oscars. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cheryl.
You're not good. Sorry, though.
No, you're not.
That wasn't
not.
Even a really good one. That wasn't even a good one.
No, the fact it made it to the Oscars, though.
That lunch. The lunch is the one.
Hold up. We at Miss Universe. I'm going out there. I'm nervous. Every time it's time to announce the winner, they hand me the envelope. I open the envelope. And I be doggone. No, she didn't. This heifer done sugar honey iced tea all in the envelope. Now, ain't no telling who gonna be Miss Universe now. It could be damn near anybody.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to wipe it off with my finger so I can read somebody's name.
Shirley, this is the craziest one ever.
I'm sorry.
I don't know one crazier than that. It's the craziest letter ever.
All right, now we're really going to move on. Some of the performers, we don't have a lot of time for this segment.
Shirley told me no.
No.
Shirley's mad.
No, I'm not mad at all.
I'm sorry, Shirley.
It's just nasty and disgusting. I'm not mad.
No,
you don't.
If you was that lady, Shirley, what would you do?
I'm not her.
Man.
That's why they have bathrooms.
Can you give me one for the urn?
Let
me tell you about this one. Y'all are set up in here and honored your grandfather's wishes. Well, he never wanted a funeral. He wanted to be cremated. Now, y'all done took his ashes in the urn up on the top of the smokers where he always wanted his ashes strewn across.
You're not getting ready to do what I think you're
getting
ready to say.
You open up that urn and get to dumping. And all of a sudden, ain't no ashes in there. Because this heifer put sugar honey iced tea in the damn urn.
On Big Daddy. Not on Big Daddy.
30 seconds.
You heard him.
It's cold outside.
Okay.
It's winter.
Okay.
It's the first cold snow.
Come on. Talk to me.
You getting dressed. Mm-hmm. You reach in your pocket to put your gloves on. You jam your hands down in your gloves. There she is again. She got your ass again. You put your hand down in your glove. It's oozing all up out the top of your glove. You mad as hell now. How you gonna mad as hell?
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, J. Anthony Brown, in honor of the Oscars, has written a segment.
You go to the movie. No.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, Shirley and Carla have some updates for us on the Oscars that I wasn't able to see because I was working.
That's right, Steve. What an exciting night. It was long, though. Woo.
Girl, the Oscars are long, right,
Shirley? I know, yes.
Host Jimmy Kimmel, you guys, he set up the joke of the evening by offering a jet ski for the shortest acceptance speech. Because, you know, we just talked about it. The Oscars go on and on and on. A jet ski, though, that's what's up. Let's take a listen.
This is a really long show. So here's what we're going to do. Not saying you shouldn't give a long speech, but whoever gives the shortest speech tonight will go home with. Johnny, tell them what they'll win.
It's a brand new jet ski.
Well, the winner was Mark Bridges. He was costume designer for the movie Phantom Thread. His speech was 36 seconds long.
Shout out to Mary J. Blige, though. Yeah. She looked beautiful last night.
Yes.
Shout out to Mary J., Denzel, everyone that was in the house.
Dave Chappelle, Lupita Nyong'o, Chadwick Boseman was there. Oh. King T'Challa was in the building.
Yes, he was. And I struggle pronouncing his name, but it's Daniel Kaluuya.
Okay.
Love him.
Our girls, Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph, they stole the show, holding their shoes because their feet were hurting when they came out on stage. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And then the hashtag OscarsSoWhite reference. Take a listen.
We are so happy to be here, but a little nervous too, because a few years ago, people were saying that Oscars were so white. And since then, some real progress has been made.
Mm-hmm. But we, when we came out together, we know some of you were thinking, are the Oscars too black now?
But we just want to say, don't worry. There are so many more white people to come to.
Mm-hmm. So many. We just came from backstage, and there are tons of them back there.
Tons of them.
Mm-hmm.
The moment of the evening belonged to Frances McDormand. When she won Best Actress Award, you know, for the movie Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Shirley, you saw the movie. Jay, you guys saw the movie. She had all the women nominees in the room to stand up.
Take a listen.
If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. The actors. Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will. Come on. The filmmakers, the producers, the directors, the writers, the cinematographer, the composers, the songwriters, the designers. Come on.
Frances ended her speech, though, with two words, inclusion writer. And everyone, it was all over social media. What is an inclusion writer? And an inclusion writer is a clause in an actor's contract that requires the cast and crew to be diverse in order to retain the actor. Shout out to Frances McDormand, all of the winners, all of the highlights, all the celebrities. Jordan Peele won.
You guys are gonna mess up my jet ski. Hold up. This means so much to me. I stopped writing this movie about 20 times because I thought it was impossible. I thought it wasn't going to work. I thought no one would ever make this movie. But I kept coming back to it because I knew if someone let me make this movie, that people would hear it and people would see it. So I want to dedicate this to all the people who raised my voice and let me make this movie.
Shout out to Jordan Peele for Get Out. He won for original screenplay, the 90th Annual Academy Awards, the Oscars. It was long, but it was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Jay, I mentioned that we were going to talk about this.
It is a fact that black people yell out at the movies. We're going to do it.
It's part of
our know, just be
prepared
culture. For it.
Yeah.
White people have never been to movies with us. This is what we do. This is how we watch the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to yell out what was yelled at the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to guess what movie I'm talking about.
I ain't going to get nothing.
You're going to get it. You're going to get this. All right, I'm gonna give you the first one because I know you're going to get it. This is going to be the first one for you, Steve. You ready?
Uh-oh. Yeah. You heard that shade, didn't you?
Yeah. See, but this is what a person would yell out at the movie. These ain't words in the movie, right?
These are not movie quotes.
No, right. Yeah, see, right. I ain't going to get none of these here.
You might, though, because you black.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're going to get it. Yeah, you're giving up too quick, yeah.
Made my own one.
Oh, Lord, she done slapped a white woman.
Oh, Lord.
Got that on?
Roots.
Roots?
Close.
No, not in Roots.
Oh, Lord. And they say she got that nasty woman disease.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Color purple, yo.
All right, there you go. All right. All right, but you're spending way too much time with that volleyball.
Oh, Tom Hanks. Yeah. What's the movie Castaway?
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh,
Wilson,
okay.
The volleyball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because see, I'm thinking volleyball game.
All right, here we go. You don't get this. When your mama's boyfriend naked in the kitchen, you need to get your own place.
That's baby boy.
Yeah, you got one, Steve. Yes.
But that's something you do say at the screen, though.
Yeah. When your mama's boyfriend naked, you need to get your own place, damn it.
It's time to move.
Don't be like that. You can let him back in the group, JT.
One of my five heartbeats.
See, I didn't know who JT was. I thought that was real life. That's cool in the game.
Don't be like that. You can let it back in the group, Otis.
Woo, Temptations, baby. Yes.
Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis.
All right, this one. You got to be a parent to get this one. You got to be a parent.
Okay, well, I'm out.
Okay.
Let me get this right. The snowman can talk, but the horse can't.
Frozen, baby, Frozen.
Wow. Way to go, Carla.
Now,
we'd have been here all week trying to get me to say that.
Olaf, the snowman, yes.
All right, this one. Steve, you're going to get this one. I done told y'all them Russians ain't nothing to play with.
Trump?
Oh, no.
The movie hasn't been made yet.
No. Kind of like White House?
White House?
No.
Get his butt, white boy.
Come on, Tommy, the actor.
That's Training Day.
There you go. Look that's at Denzel. Tommy. That's it. That's that.
That's Denzel.
All right, here we go. Here we go. I don't care if she is dead. You can't bring that baby back here.
Yeah, this your last time.
Oh, yeah. Fences.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go. Uh-huh. There you go. Thank
that's
you.
That's Fences?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I would have yelled at
you. Don't
at
have
the
any more. This is fun. Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is fun. The last time.
Yeah. Man, I ain't knew but one of them. This fun for y'all. My stupid behind over here struggling.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Former President Barack Obama says he would play for the San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm. What?
President Obama, of course, is known for, you know, shooting hoops every now and then from time to time. Yeah.
He ain't got that much.
No, not that much.
But he said,
I appreciate him saying.
But listen, if he did have a chance to play pro ball, he'd lend his hooping talent to the Spurs. He said that although he is a diehard Chicago Bulls fan, his decision would be based on intellect rather than loyalty.
Oh, okay.
Oh. He says the way he sees it, the Spurs are smart, they're well-run, and they're a focused team. Obama's interest in the team got the attention of Coach Greg Popovich. Coach Pop took to Twitter to say that's very flattering. I'd have to do a background
check
on
him. What did he say
him.
About him again now?
Well, he said they're smart, they're well-run, and they're focused on teams.
What are things not in the White House for 1,000?
Alex. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's cool. He wouldn't play for the team he's loyal for.
They don't have it. I understand.
Well-oiled machine.
You know, but he plays basketball.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Is he good?
Ball player. Yeah. he's pretty decent.
Pretty, good. Mm-hmm.
Pretty decent, man.
Hey, did you see Russell Wilson playing baseball?
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that. And?
Ooh,
how was he?
Lord have mercy.
He struck out, but he looked like he got game, though.
Yeah, this boy, yeah.
He played for the Yankees now, doesn't he?
Mm. He's going back to camp now, though.
Yeah, they're in spring training, but I'm saying he's in Yankees farm.
So why is he doing that? To stay in shape off season?
Maybe? No. He actually could be a two-sport player.
Oh, he's considering it? Oh, he got drafted for baseball, but he chose
Russell Ball. Yeah,
oh.
Right.
And he gets a check.
Do we?
Yeah, for baseball, yeah. He's drafted. They drafted him.
Oh, wow.
In the draft. He's actually signed to the Yankees.
Wow. No wonder Sierra is always smiling.
If I was smart, I'd go back and do it again. I would never have touched a football.
I played minor league ball.
Minor league what?
Well, baseball. You know, in the Negro leagues, you know, you was.
I set myself up.
Yeah.
I walked right in.
I mean, that was all.
I put it out there.
He's the man. That, Jay.
I put
Jay,
that out there, and he just man. Took that, man.
Jay used to be, used to do batting practice with Satchel Paige.
Yeah, Satchel Paige. Whenever Steve gets some time to mention Satchel Paige, he will. Whenever he can work it in.
I put that out there.
Right? He loves Satchel Paige.
I underhand that to sit down.
And Jay first got started. He
come
was
on,
a, he was a ball boy in the Negro League. He made the baseballs.
What was I thinking?
Out of cotton and corn silk.
I'm really surprised.
And then he moved up. He was a team. He was a team manager where he tried to manage two Negro League players.
I said, Here's the bat. Hit me in the head with it. Right?
Wait, what were their names, Steve?
Blackbone Jackson and Spooky Tooth Wilson. And he tried to get them contracts with the Dodgers before Jackie Robinson. They attempted to hang Jay.
Whoa.
And that's what got Jay out of managing.
Walk right on over.
Did I walk into that one or what?
Yeah. You really did.
You took all of that, boy.
I'm very surprised.
Steve always goes too far, though. Yeah.
I know. Hey, Steve, before we get out of here, you have to say happy birthday to your friend, Pastor Joel Osteen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, 55 years old today.
Mm-hmm. How?
55.
Yeah, man, he looks good for 55.
Yeah, he absolutely does. It's
probably
the Lord.
Because he's small.
And rich.
It's the Lord.
And the Lord.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, on Friday night, I don't know if you guys heard about this, hip-hop artist Rick Ross was rushed to the hospital after reportedly suffering a heart attack. In 2011, Rick Ross suffered two seizures within hours and later openly discussed his poor health habits. Now, this is according to TMZ. Rick is in the hospital hooked up to a machine that is performing heart and lung functions, although Rick Ross' friends and family, they're denying that claim that he's on life support. Now, we all know that 50 Cent and Rick Ross have been mortal enemies. They've been beefing for a long, long time. So now, according to TMZ again, people are mad at 50 Cent because he posted a shocking picture that is clearly directed at his longtime enemy, Rick Ross. Some feeling like he's mocking Rick Ross. A picture 50 Cent posted is of Ivan Drago from one of the Rocky movies. The precise scene is when Drago is standing over Apollo Creed. We all remember this as Creed is dying. And Drago says, if he dies, he dies. Ugh. Come on, Fitty. Yeah. That's crazy. That's not very sensitive, very insensitive. Stars from the hip-hop industry, including Drake, Snoop, Chris Rock, Diddy, Missy Elliott, LL Cool J, French Montana, and more are all praying for Rick Ross, as we all are.
He's an important cat, you know. All of us
the
are
boss?
Important
yeah.
to somebody, but he just happens to be a famous person. He's a good dude, man. I've only met him once, but he seems like a good dude to me, man. I don't wish nothing on my enemies like that.
No.
Because I don't want it to happen to me.
Right. And just because that's not how you roll. Yeah, you treat people how you want to be treated.
But 50 got way too much going on to carry that.
Yeah, come on, 50.
You know, and if it was done in humor, you missed.
Check with us, 50, next time.
With some real comedians.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. And if we say it's over the line, please.
It's over the line.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go with that one.
Yeah. No.
Uh-uh. Yeah, you know, that beef goes back a long time.
Yeah,
remember the whole baby mama sex tape thing, 50 and Rick Ross.
This would be a good time for 50 to step up and wish him well and squash the beef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take the high road.
Take the high road.
At least get out of here.
Now listen to this. God forbid something happened to Ricky Rose. Mm-hmm. What do that win you? It changes your position in life. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. Nothing happens.
Yeah, well, again, we're all praying for Rick Ross. We really are. All right, coming up, Steve Harvey has special closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we go on this Monday after the Oscars, last break of the day. Here's Steve with his closing remarks.
My closing remarks today is rather personal to me, as I'm sure it is with a lot of you when you hear the subject. But I want to try to encourage people to make this readily available to themselves. I can't even begin to tell you how effective this weapon has been for me throughout my life, how many times I have used this to help me, to comfort me, to soothe me, to guide me, to just make me feel like somebody's listening. I'm talking about the effectiveness of prayer. I want to remind everybody on a personal level of what prayer has meant to me. Now, I'm sure there are millions of people listening to me know exactly what I'm talking about, but sometimes you got to say it out loud as a reminder to yourself. And just an offer to other people who might be struggling out there. Because everybody struggles with something. But every time I've truly struggled with something, prayer has been my most effective tool. It really is, man. The thing about prayer, the cool thing about prayer is you don't have to ask for nobody's permission. You don't need an appointment. You don't have to clear it with anybody. And I'm sure that, you know, people will share with you certain methods they use, but really any way you do it be just fine. You don't have to be on your knees. You know, if you want to, that's absolutely fine, but you could be on the public transportation, you could be driving, you could be sitting in your car. You could be in your cubicle. You could be at your desk. You could be at your workstation. You could be walking on the way to lunch. You can do it anywhere. So please don't wait until you have an available space or time. Because the thing about prayer and God, man, he's always available. The cool thing about prayer also, it doesn't require perfection. And what I mean by that is, you don't have to have yourself together to do it. This is a big one that people need to understand. Prayer does not require perfection. As a matter of fact, prayer doesn't require that you come to pray after you get it right. Matter of fact, you don't have to get it right. You don't have to be perfect. Prayer is for broken people. Prayer is for people that are confused. Prayer is for people who are unsure about the next move. Prayer is for people who are grieving. Prayer is for people who are hurting. Prayer is for people who feel alone. It's for people who got nowhere to go, who have no place to turn. Now, it would be good if you used it all the time. But let's be honest. A lot of times we wait till something is wrong. It's best to do it all the time. But if you are finding yourself in one of these positions of being broken, confused, unsure, hurting, grieving, alone, then it's available. Because the thing about God is he's merciful. He understands already that you're not perfect. He understands already that you only come to him a lot of times when you really need him. But the incredible thing about him is he's always there. That's incredible. God is behind the prison walls. He's inside of hospitals. God is down at the funeral home. God shows up, man, when he needed most, when he's needed most. And it doesn't matter. Because let me tell you what prayer has done for me. It has given me comfort. It has given me a surefire way to get real answers. Prayer connects us to the greatest source of power available to man. I'm just talking to you real, y'all. I'm just giving it to you the way I see it. Now, there are people who can explain prayer far better than me. I'm pretty sure there's some people in that pulpit can give you a cold, cold definition of prayer. But what if you ain't there that Sunday? I'm just telling you from a hood cat that prayer has worked for me. That it's got me through some of my darkest moments. When it seemed like everywhere I turned, they was against me. Prayer got me through it. Oh, I've done some things publicly, man. Lord have mercy, man. That I know would have crumbled me if it was not for prayer. Oh, I've had people talking about me that don't even know me. Ain't never met me. Just saying negative about me. You know what got me through it? Prayer. You know, when they all said I was this ignorant person on television, prayer. When I was being called out of my name, what I felt was unjustifiably, prayer. Prayer. When they lie about me, drag my character and name through the mud with lies, prayer. Prayer. When I was homeless and living in that car, prayer. Prayer changes things. Just use it, man. Stop being proud and use it because prayer works. Pray. Don't ask nobody. Listen, don't forget to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray. And don't ever be too proud to pray because prayer changes things. You can believe that. Y'all have a great weekend. It's already. I'm working this weekend too. Have a great weekend. Pray.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Okay,
yeah.
We gonna pray.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.